Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chilly.
May 8, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this is the show you're looking for. How do I know it? Because you're hearing me say what I'm saying. Anyway, Moonday, Monday, first broadcast day of the week for the network and all that good stuff. But if you're hearing us, as most people do, via your Fondle Slab of choice, your applicable application, your podcatcher du jour, you don't care because you're listening to it when you want, on demand, and all that good stuff. Anyway, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, welcome. All right, now that I've covered all that, I have another guy with a show that has the word effect in the title of the show. Started at about the same time I did, alt media, blah, blah. Look back in the archives if you want the backstory and how he got started, because we're not going there tonight. Ricky Verandas, the guy from The Ripple Effect. Again, neither one of us ripped the other off, just so you know. Okay, but I'll make that point every single time. Also, a key component to the Union of the Unwanted, involved in a whole bunch of other stuff. You go to RickyMirandez.com, I believe, and you can find all those things. But also, I think RippleEffect.com. How many .coms are there altogether for your work, Ricky? Help me out.
There are quite a few, actually, and you're right. There, Ricky Verandas will take you there. The Ripple Effect Podcast.com will take you there. I believe I also own RicardoVerandas.com. I don't know why about all of them, but I did. I figured just in case somebody forgets the name of the URL, there's a few that they can use, but they all take you to the same place, same website. So feel free to use any of them. I think the Ripple Effect. The RippleEffect.com was taken.
Oh.
And they wanted way too much money for it. And then the Ripple Effect podcast seemed a little long. So I'm like, you know what? Let me just do RickyBrands.com if somebody wants to use that. So, you know, I kind of gave them a couple options. But yeah, they all lead to the same place. And on that website, you'll find all the places you can find the video version of all my podcasts and also the audio version on all the podcasts. And, you know, besides YouTube, I'm available just about everywhere.
Right. Oh, you're totally off of YouTube now?
Yeah, during the COVID lockdowns, like many people, I got kicked off. I'm sure I was getting strikes from time to time and getting warnings, a lot of warnings. But once Robert Malone came on, and Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Pierre Corey and Dr. Jessica Rose, and I was really getting a lot of them on and quite you know, just around the same time, it was all around the same couple months. I think it really pissed off YouTube when they finally, I knew it was about time. And then luckily Matt from Content Safe was a lifesaver. I didn't really panic because he had a service that you upload to one place and then he syncs all your channels together. So I could upload to YouTube at the time. And then it was, within, you know, a day, I think at the time it was like between 24 to 48 hours, you would see the videos on Rumble and BitChute and Rockfin and all the other platforms. So at least it gave me the peace of mind that, like, when I do eventually get kicked off YouTube, at least I know the video is available in other places. So I did eventually get kicked off YouTube. I didn't want to self-censor. I know some people do it, and I understand why they do it, because YouTube is a valuable platform. The majority of people, I think it's like the second most used platform for search, as a search engine. So a lot of people go on there to search for information.
Well, it's a key component of the Google Borg. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? It is what it is, right?
And one thing I did not, so I wasn't concerned so much about losing YouTube, because I knew it was going to happen. And like I said, I wasn't self-censoring. But one thing I did learn, and I kind of assumed already, but I experienced it firsthand, was once you get kicked off YouTube, you're put on some type of like blacklist or some type of shadow banning list, where now also just shadow banned on everything. So when people would go on YouTube or go on Google and search for the show, before I got kicked off YouTube, it was quite easy to find. You put in a specific show, like, okay, Ripple Effect Podcast, and I could put in, like, Chuck. And then the episode that we did together would pop up. It was really easy to find specific episodes. I didn't have to put in a lot of detail. But, and then, after I got kicked off YouTube, I could you know, be recommending a show I did on the ketogenic diet. You know, I did a show with Jim Abrams and you know, he was a filmmaker who did The Naked Gun or whatever. And I'm like, oh, the great show on his son's, how he used the ketogenic diet to cure himself of these seizures he was having and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I would want to send it to somebody and I would put in Jim Abrams or Ripple Effect Podcast, put the whole title.
Right.
And it wouldn't come. I'm like, oh my God, like I'm not just banned off YouTube. Now I'm basically banned off the internet almost because most people use YouTube and Google. And if Google's censoring you too now, you basically are screwed. So it makes it much more difficult for people to really get the word out there and for, you know, those random people who run into your show because they're looking at something else that might be related. Mm-hmm. Like that doesn't happen anymore. So it makes it much harder for a show like yours or mine that might talk about more controversial topics for us to get new listeners. You know, you end up almost being stuck in an echo chamber where it's like, okay, my regulars already know I exist and they're already listening on a regular basis.
Right.
But my growth is basically on pause and there is no growth. So I think people don't realize, like, you know, getting kicked off YouTube isn't just one platform, but you're almost basically completely shadow banned on the whole internet because right. those are the most commonly used search engines is YouTube and Google.
Right. Terrible realization I had to come to myself is that, like, for instance, you know, on days when I decide to cover a news story, it used to be that I could tangentially be available to somebody who says they want the controversial view on said news story in real time, right, over those couple of days when something is being covered. And guess what? No more. All gone. And it doesn't matter that you pop up on, you know, like you said, BitChute and all that stuff. That's why I kind of like the aggregators, like the Linktree and all that. It's kind of helpful because at least you have something that gives them, you know, a couple of options to be able to go and check out your stuff. But your growth has definitely been kneecapped once you've been kicked off of, you know, because everybody's going, oh, it's a badge of honor. And I'm like, yeah, a badge of honor I almost don't want because I didn't need this. I'll tell you something that's even funnier. Is I don't know how much you have allowed other people to mirror your stuff, but I find it hilarious that exactly the same shows that I got kicked off for have been mirrored, and I don't reference them on the show or anything, but I'm actually still on YouTube a little bit, right? Like the whole series I did with Jordan Maxwell has now been picked up either in part or in whole by about 6 different YouTube channels, right?
Wow.
So even when they picked up other episodes that had stuff in it, and by the way, a couple of those got dinged, you know, got strikes or whatever for, I forget, maybe it was hate speech or something. It's so ridiculous, the different, you know, things they told me I violated. My favorite, of course, is cyberbullying Jeffrey Epstein after he's dead. I like that one a lot, by covering the news story, you know, the reality, which, by the way, that came up in the news this week. Yawn, nobody paid attention. But, you know, it happened, past 2 weeks, actually. But, you know, here we go, right? Somebody else can cover it, and for some reason or other, you can be posted somewhere, long as you don't do it. And I don't know if you notice, it also screws with you about your usage of the platform now. Because, my entire account, including, because I had one account, since 2008, I guess, when I started my YouTube channel, so I could do book reviews of all things. You know, like all that went away, but also I had, you know, a lot of things that I'd built up, different subscriptions I had and all that kind of stuff. Well, you can't access any of that either. They wipe your whole account. So whatever. I'm not here to complain about YouTube. Screw them. Gonna do what I'm gonna do. And as per usual, you can find all of Ricky's stuff. If you can just spell RickyVerandez.com, you can go there. And as you said, and by the way, the reason why you picked up all those other URLs is because they probably offered you package deals, which I always love that, where it's like you can have .net, .com, .news, and all this, and just give us another $20 or $30 or whatever. So, you know.
Well, and you know, even though Ricky Verandez is shorter than the RippleEffectPodcast.com, it's not everybody is good at spelling other people's last names. Mm-hmm. So it's, and Ricky can be even spelled differently. You know, some people will put
Ricky with an I, Ricky with a Y, Ricky with an IE. Yeah, I gotcha.
So it just, to me, I'm like, well, let me just cover everything. And but you know, it does suck because I know, you know, like Sam Tripoli, who hosts the Union
Tinfoil Vermont. Tinfoil Hat, yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah,
and the Tinfoil Hat podcast. He, you know, he would constantly talk about how, like, why is it so difficult for people just to go on the website and then listen to people and watch people on their like people go into his website. But the problem is, like, you know, we're creatures that enjoy, you know, the path of least resistance. So the thing with me is, like, I get that, like, it's much easier for somebody to just go on one platform. Like, let me go on YouTube and I can get all these content creators instead of going to each content creator's website specifically. You know, yeah. It's like, I get it if maybe you're just a fan of one or two shows, but if you're like myself and you like getting different perspectives and opinions from all different types of people and you like to kind of jump around a little bit so you don't get bored. You know, and that's something that I do try to exercise, because I think that, like, if you listen to the same opinions and perspectives constantly over and over again, you kind of just adapt and adopt those, you know, or you adopt those perspectives and opinions and you start sounding like them, and you don't take in anything new that's thought provoking or mentally stimulating or something that might change your perspective.
In addition, it could affect you too, because you'll hear that someone, as you were talking about self-censorship a minute ago, and that's a key thing, because not that you're choosing to self-censor, but when you hear repeatedly others doing it, right? Like, I noticed that I took up things like, instead of, you know, don't call it the shot, right? Because that'll give you, that's a keyword problem. Don't call it the shot. Don't call it the vax. No. And then you start calling it something else. It's because you've heard it repeatedly from somebody else, and you say, you know, that's actually not a bad idea or whatever. Or maybe you don't even think about it, but you start restricting your use of, you know, just calling it, like I just said, look, it's a medication. You know, and that was problematic, right? But I'm getting influenced now by the lexicon, by the nomenclature that is presented, because I'm steeping myself in it. It's just that simple. That's why I really do avoid a lot of guys. I mean, I talk to a lot of podcasters, but in reality, I've not listened to a lot of anybody's episodes, because if I do in a short period of time, whether I want them to or not, they'll either begin to affect my language or they'll begin to affect, you know, my presentation. Again, it could be the ghost notes. You know, I'm deciding not to say something because I've already heard it 100 times. And maybe my audience hasn't, and I need to consider that. Not necessarily that I've heard it 1,000 times. Maybe they haven't. You know what I mean? So it becomes a weird thing when you want to do that. And one of the best ways, like you said, is to move around and to diversify what it is you're choosing to expose yourself to. And I'm one of those guys too, which is why this, you know, tangential effect where you're now being, you know, removed from, well, gee, there's other possibilities here regarding one subject or one particular issue. Even in a large issue, like a historical issue, like I'm no longer coming up in searches for stuff that I was known for, like the JFK assassination. Now I'm not coming up when you're looking up somebody else's work on it, even if I've got a similar idea, even if I'm talking about a similar area. If I was discussing ballistics and you're looking up somebody else who's discussing ballistics, it's not necessarily going to come up together anymore. Even on the controversial platforms, even on the ones that are, you know, less censored or not censored, they claim, you know, whether it's Rockfin or it's BitChute or whatever, I'm still not coming up. It's a weird thing where, like, connective tissue is removed once you start getting banned. So it's an odd thing, man. It's like, you know, I still exist on Twitter, too. Some people have told me I need to get the hell off of there. But I see no reason to abandon the tools until you're forced to, you know?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. People said the same thing about Patreon when a lot of people were getting kicked off Patreon. I had a lot of people contacting me, Patreon supporters, are like, I need to find another way to support you because I can't use Patreon anymore because all these content creators I love are getting kicked off. I'm like, that's great, and I get it. I don't hold anybody against, you know, that moral judgment where they want to, you know, just say, hey, you know what, I can't support this company. But
no, vote like, with your dollars any which way you want. I definitely would never say to somebody, hey, look, do something against your conscience just because it benefits me. Hell no. No, no, no. I mean, I've had people tell me this about PayPal off and on over the years. I don't want to use PayPal. Okay, sorry. But it is, I'm going to continue to use it because it's accessible and it makes sense for me.
Well, Rumble's the new one because now, like, everybody's talking about, like, you know where Rumble gets their money. And, you know, it's like, listen, I get it. Mm. I'm like, there's, you know, there's some shiesty people involved in it. There's, you know, finances that could come from, you know, other shiesty people. Like, I get that. Mm. But the bottom line is, like, it's a platform that gives me the freedom to put, I mean, I've never been censored. I get to put my videos out there.
Right.
I get to reach maybe a different audience. Like, why wouldn't I utilize that? Like, if they're censoring me and, you know, I'd be outspoken about it and I would say, hey, they're censoring and whatever. But like, same thing with like band.video, you know, I'm on band.video. It's like, okay, people are like, oh, why would you be on Alex Jones's, video platform? I'm like, I get it. I'm like, I get it. But I'm like, it's, I'm not doing anything different with my show. I'm like, I do my show the exact same way. The only difference is like, I might be reaching a audience that might not be used to conversations like mine. They might be exposed to different ideas and different content creators and different perspectives. And, as long as they're letting me do my show the way that I do it and they're not asking me to censor anything and they're not kicking me off, I'm like, I'm not saying I'm promoting those platforms. I'm just saying I'm going to use them. And, you know, and we don't want to be in an echo chamber. And same thing with YouTube. Like, I get the people who are saying like, hey, you know, look, I'm much like you, Chuck. Like, I wouldn't, you know, I'm not a fan of self-censoring, but I get the why some people would, because they're like, hey, there's people on YouTube that we need to reach. Like, maybe most of the audience on Rockfin, they know, you know, they're on board with us. They're on board with, like,
preaching to the choir to some degree, for sure. Yeah.
But, you know, if you have to self-censor a little bit on YouTube to maybe reach them, then I get that too, you know. So I see all perspectives. But in regards to, like, I definitely understand what you're saying in regards to not wanting to listen to other podcasters and because maybe you end up sounding like them or, you know, or maybe second-guessing what you should be doing or whatnot. But to me, it's more about, like, I mean, you could do it maybe not even with podcasts, but maybe do it with books, right? Like, book that is a counter argument to something you subscribe to, you know, maybe read a book that has a different perspective, a different opinion than what, you know, your own opinion is. And because I think sometimes we need our ideas challenged. We need to have somebody challenge them, because if you can't defend them, or maybe you think you can defend them much better than you can, but if you struggle to defend them, maybe it's not as well thought out as you thought. And and I also find myself sometimes repeating, you know, things that I'm listening to, right? So it's like, oh, now I'm starting to kind of sound and think like this person. I'm like, I need to hear some other perspectives. I need to hear some different opinions. I need to hear somebody who has maybe a drastically different worldview. Because I also don't like to plant my flag on any idea or perspective or ideology. So it's like, I want to constantly evolve and you know, constantly learn during this journey of being alive and taking in information and opinions and learning about the world. And, you know, in that journey, I can't just only, you know, listen to people who sound like me and think like me. I want to listen to people who don't think like me and, you know, really take in a little bit of information and knowledge and really use all this stuff to kind of help mold my worldview and then filter out the things you don't like, but at least listen to those things. And, you know, I like being wrong. That's one of the reasons why I like being wrong, because it means I'm one step closer to being right. Like, I'm one step closer.
Exactly. No. You know, look, I don't want to stay on this subject too long, because I know you and I have had similar conversations like this before, so I'd like to move on to some other stuff. But before I do, two quick things. One, I always think it's good to know thy enemy as well. So, honestly, I have to, in that vein, I have to tune into the MSNBC, and I have to tune into Fox News, because they're both the polar sides of what I believe are the enemy mindset and the enemy brainwashing out there in my brain, which is going to make me have to bring up Tucker Carlson with you in a minute. But before we get there, you know, I think it's always good to know what your enemy's doing, one. Two, again, if they make good, valid points and you think that only crap comes from them, maybe you need to reevaluate, as you were just saying. All those things are perfectly good, and there's just one other little wrinkle to this whole bit, which I think people need to keep in mind as well, which is that, you know, I understand that once you examine most of these things, most of these bigger mechanisms, platforms, it doesn't matter if it's the way money's exchanged or the way information is exchanged, whatever it is, any of these conduits for information, energy, or resources, if they are large enough, almost all of them are guaranteed to have some grease in there, okay? It's going to be a little greasy somewhere. There's going to be some dirt. There is almost nothing resembling an absolutely pristine, you know, it's like going out in the world looking for the virgin wife, okay? Let's be real. If you're in America, unless you're looking for 12-year-olds, and that's a whole other problem, you're not finding virgins, okay? You know what I'm saying? There's definitely going to be some dirt. There's definitely going to be something corrupt somewhere along the line. And it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the entire bathwater and baby need to go out the window, right? You might be able to keep the basin. You might be able to clean the baby off. You might be able to just function. I'm not saying compromise. I'm not saying don't hold to your standards, but don't expect or demand everybody else to do the same, because it's not fair. You know, I'll give you a weird, for instance, again, PayPal's one of those things where it's like, no, I won't use PayPal because they're connected to this and this corrupt thing, blah, 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 blah. Okay, cool. What are you willing to use? They'll present to me what they're willing to use, and I can say, all right, well, here's the thing. That's even more connected to banks. That's even more, you know, it's honestly more corrupt in my mind for the arguments you're making, but I'm not going to challenge you. You need to do what's comfortable for you and what's ethically sensible for you, and hopefully you have some ethics. Not you, Ricky. Somebody listening, the proverbial you. So, anyway, all that stuff is always a judgment call. It's always fluid. It's always in motion. And, you know, the truth is that when I started on YouTube in 2008, nobody had questions about whether this was, you know, corrupt mega organization that was ruining the world. People were more worried that kids were spending too much time on it. Sort of like the TikTok arguments, right? Kids are using, they're rotting their brains watching crap on YouTube. And there was a lot of crap on there. Still is. But nonetheless, it's still something. You know, they're going to bring the porno in a truck on the same road that they're going to bring the fresh spring water. They're going to, you know what I'm saying? So it's not always about the thing in and of itself. Everything has degrees, and if you can find a completely clean everything all the way around, whether it's a video platform or it's a way of exchanging resources or whatever, by all means, enlighten me. I'll be more than willing to take a look at it, but I don't think any of us is going to completely get out, you know, squeaky clean in all the things that we decide to interact with, especially in the internet age. But look, I don't want to keep on this topic because, as I said, I think you and I have exhausted this plenty. I want to get into some strange political questions, if you don't mind. Kind of blindside you with a few things because there was no pre-interview about this or pre-arranged questions, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I love this, yeah. What do you got in mind?
Cool. I've taken my glasses off, and I'm just going to give you the surprises. I'm not even going to read your face or anything else. We're just going to bounce a couple of things off here and see what happens and see what sort of effect the Ocelli Effect question has on the host of the Ripple Effect. Okay. Yes, corny, cheesy, stupid, but that's my fun. All right. And it's my show. I can do what the hell I want. And if Ricky doesn't want to do it with me, he can hang up on me. So there you go. All right. Now.
I'm a big fan of hosts doing whatever the hell they want. It is their show. And if you don't like it, go to another show. That's what I always say.
Pattern disruption. Let's roll with it, right? Okay. I don't like maintaining the pattern. So let's get to a couple of things that I am curious to see what your point of view is. RFK Jr., interesting guy. Now, look, I'm not one of these people who lionizes and, glorifies, deifies the Kennedys, the great family, and hell of a lot better than most of the political leaders and crap. And I do I mean crap? Yeah, I do mean walking, talking pieces of moving crap out there in the world that appear to be putting on the political puppet show at the moment. Better quality of people in general, that family? Yeah, even with the corruption, the strangeness, and whatever, and even with Ted Kennedy. Indeed, they are an interesting group of people. So I'm not going for them on the, the Kennedys, they might deign to once again join leadership. No. But I have questions. And it gets pretty intricate. It gets pretty, you're going to have to dig for nuances here. RFK Jr., just the flat question. What are your thoughts on him running for president? And what do you think about that in general? Because libertarians are talking. People that actually have lost interest in supporting any of this charade that is called the representative government at this point. You can tell I have an attitude problem here. What are your thoughts on RFK Jr. running at all? I'll just leave the floor open to you.
Well, you know, I am excited about what's going to happen and how this whole thing is going to unfold, because, you know, I'm curious why he's running as a Democrat. I'm curious and I'm not curious. I mean, in one hand, I get it. Like, you have to be a part of the debates. You have to be a part of the race between the left and the right, because those are the only two parties that get any airtime. They're the only two parties that get any amount of the attention and conversation in mainstream media. So I get that aspect of it. I am a little concerned about him having faith in the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. If you take away the D next to his name and what he's running as, I like him. I like him as a person. I like him as – I've been actually trying to get him on my podcast for quite a few years now, because I'm sure as many regular listeners of the Ripple Effect podcast know, I've had Dr. Brian Hooker on. I've had Del Bigtree on. I've had a lot of people throughout the years that are in the medical freedom world and community, and it's a topic that I'm real passionate about, and I like to talk about and discuss. And so I've been a fan of his for a long time, because I think for a long time after COVID, I think it's not quite as bad. But previously, prior to COVID, if you brought up any skepticism about vaccines, you were immediately considered a tinfoil hat, conspiracy theorist, lunatic. And it was a very hard topic to be on this side on. And he was willing to do it. And he knew the backlash. He knew just how much people would laugh at him and say that he's lost all credibility and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I give him a lot of credit for dealing with all that, and yet in his heart trying to do what's right by, you know, getting people aware of how not safe and effective most vaccines are. But, you know, like I said, I am a little concerned about him running as a Democrat. I know his interview that he had with Kim Iverson, she kind of, you know, talked about that a little bit. I mean, this is a guy running for president who's been on the Corbett Report, who's been on a lot of, alternative media podcasts, and yet also a lot of mainstream media shows. And I love the fact that he's kind of drawing this connection between the two. It's like, hey, these people aren't that crazy. And, I think, he's almost giving credibility to some of the people in our community because he was willing to come on these shows. And knock on wood, I don't want to jinx myself, but I guess I'll announce it here. But we are in conversations with his press team on him coming on the Ripple Effect podcast. And it's actually one thing that I keep thinking about, because he was supposed to be on last Sunday, but I had a bunch of soccer stuff going on with my kids, and I coached some of their teams and all this stuff, so it got really difficult, and they kind of hit me up last second, and I'm like, I can't, I'm on the road for soccer games, and I'm away from the studio, but I'm hoping that we can figure something out. But before I have him on, I actually am very curious about other people in the community, like yourself and many others. I've been meaning to like tweet it or maybe Telegram or throwing out an email and just getting some feedback from other people in the community. Like, what are questions and concerns you guys have about him running? Because I want to be honest in regards to interviewing him. I don't want to be a fanboy and just talk about all the great stuff. He's running for president. Right. I don't want to just talk about all the great things he's done, but I want to talk about like what's his perspective on many issues that are going to be important issues if he did get into office, and then really just, you know, not give him a tough interview, but at least be willing to ask questions. Because I, like I said, I am concerned about him running as a Democrat.
Well, let me, you know what, you've said that now, I think, five times, according to my count, believe it or not, that you're concerned about him running as a Democrat. So allow me to interrupt you and vivisect part of what's going on here. I got two directions I need to go in, so a little bit of patience from you, okay? Because these are honest concerns, and quite frankly, you are going to, just like you want to get a little bit of a read on maybe me, just to get a little piece of what's going on in the let's call it the atypical philosophical and intellectual part of the alt media community, whatever you want to call it at this point, indie media, indie thinkers. You might want to sample me. I need to sample you because I think that you'll be an exemplar of some issues that are going to come up here among people that I have a kinship with, but I am decidedly separated from. Now, I won't explain that comment right now because I think it's going to get explained as I not dissect, because it's not dead. We're going to do a vivisection of part of what you've just stated and where we're at. You game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Five times, I believe. Could have been four, but I'm pretty sure five. Five times you're concerned about this guy running as a Democrat. Now, I'm making an assumption here, and maybe you'll correct me, but the big question is going to come at the end. My assumption that you might have to correct is this. Somehow or other, being a Democrat is worse than being a Republican. So you're kind of implying, at least the way I'm hearing it, that if he had an R next to his name, it would be less disconcerting than the D. So I think I know the answer to this, and I feel terribly about it because it's one of the things that does subdivide me from, I'm sorry, a lot of you guys that are doing indie media but have spoken and unspoken agreements where you come together in a very unified way, okay? And this is one of those issues where you do. Here's the thing. To me, Democrat, it's got a whole basket of bad stuff that comes along with it that's guaranteed to be attached to the modern Democratic Party. But also the Republican Party has plenty of poison attached to it as well. And quite frankly, on balance, I see a very well-balanced, lesser of two evils. There's still two evils. Pick one, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I don't want you to go and have to deal with that. I want to know why the contrast, because you've clearly laid that out in my mind, maybe I'm wrong, that it's worse to be a Democrat. It's worse to be signed on with the corporate Democrat establishment as opposed to being signed on with the corporate Republican establishment. So I'm curious, in general, without even being specific about Bobby Kennedy Jr., tell me why that is, if I'm correct about that assumption. And keep that answer short just so I can really get you to expand on part two of that question when I ask it, please. So what is the giant contrast that makes it necessary for you to have to keep mentioning? It really concerns me that he's on the Democratic side, which, again, I know I'm repeating myself. It's more for the listener, not for you, Ricky, because you're a smart guy. You already know where I'm going. But again, for the listener, to be very, very clear, I hear that you're making a decisive contrast between Republican and Democrat. Could you tell me what that is, or if I'm wrong about it?
So the reason why it's concerning is because I'm actually quite surprised that he's not running as an independent.
Okay.
Which meant would be horrendous. Now, the difference between if I were to expand on why the Democratic Party would be, I mean, obviously he's a Kennedy. Running as a Republican would not make much sense. But the other reason why running as a Democrat doesn't make a lot of sense either is because one of the issues that he's been the most involved in he's been one of the faces of the anti-vaccine movement, for a lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. And recently, especially of late, it seems like you see many more people on the Democratic side that are causing these issues and being much more idealistic with their opinions on this and much more extreme with their opinions on it. Mm-hmm. So that's why it was a little bit surprising. It was surprising, like I said, but one, it was surprising that he didn't run as an independent. I get why, I do understand why he would do that, because if you're trying to get into debates, everybody who runs, they talk about it, how, like, if you don't get in debates, you have zero chance. Ron Paul was a libertarian. He ran as a Republican, right? And people kind of knew that, like, he really has libertarian views, but to be in the conversation, he almost had a run as a Republican. So,
but in shorthand, though, you have to go with one of the major parties if you want guaranteed ballot access in all 50 states. I mean, that's really what the bottom line is. Even aside from the debates and whatever it is you can buy, commercial airtime, et cetera, it kind of comes down to that, doesn't it? Ballot access is assured only in all 50 states, only if you're part of one of the two wings of what I describe as the one-party system. You have to be an R or a D in order to have ballot access. I mean, isn't that the bottom line?
Yeah. Well, I mean, basically, you have to join one of the cults or clubs or gangs if you want to play their game, and that's right. I think that's what he did.
Like Bernie Sanders probably did not belong as a Democrat. Let's go on the other side of the equation, right? He really should have been an independent under the socialist or under the, let's call it the Democrat Classic Party, right? You know, like when they came out with New Coke and they had Classic Coke, which wound up becoming Coke again. You know, again, the corporate branding, it's very relevant. Thing is, Bernie Sanders, probably not legitimately a Democrat per se. Ron Paul, probably not legitimately a Republican. Of course, it's more conducive to his overall viewpoint, and he maintained that. But another guy who probably should have had an I in front of his name instead of an R. But he went with it. Again, ballot access, and it's got its, you know, pros and cons, but it just seemed to me like, what if he did run as a Republican? Because other relatives, other people in the bloodline, believe it or not, there are many different cousins, second cousin, third cousin, this, that, third thing. I mean, there's even a congressman named John Kennedy, the third or whatever, in Congress who is some distant relative. And he's a Republican. There are various Republicans. Either they share the name or they don't, that are part of the bloodline that have gone in all different directions, more liberal, less liberal. I mean, clearly there's a huge difference between the Democratic Party that his father and indeed his uncle were rock stars within. But, you know, so today's modern Democratic Party really, truthfully, intellectually, spiritually, does not even remotely match what was. But having said all that, why do you think it's even more disconcerting if he gives in to the Democratic side? Because saying that, well, he's more on the anti-vax, I don't know, that doesn't sound like that's the whole explanation. What really, I mean, really, nuts and bolts, what's the, I mean, I just have this feeling that in general, it's just a little less grating to your being in general that somebody is a Republican as opposed to a Democrat. I mean, not to the point of being like Alex Jones was, the left-right paradigm is false, the left-right paradigm is false, the left-right paradigm is false, but the right wing is kind of okay. The left-right, you're not doing that. But what is it that's just really the bottom sticking point? I mean, are they more totalitarian in their ways? Is that what the key is? They're less about personal freedoms. I mean, give me a real broad stroke here. What is the toxicity level that is even greater with the Democrats than it would be if he came out and said, you know what, I'm running as a Republican?
Well, I mean, the majority of his interviews and the majority of his work the last few years, or I mean, for quite a few years now, has been vaccine related and medical freedom related. So If you look at who's been the most extreme in regards to like pushing, you know, vaccines on the children, the mandates, all that stuff, it's been people on the left. I mean, that's, you know, but in regards to the left-right thing, I look at things like, okay, at this current time, who seems to be worse? And you can put your focus on either one. At the moment right now, when you look at like the left has completely lost their mind, not to say that the right's any better. Now, there's been times in my life where it's been completely, you know, reversed. When I first got into politics, for lack of a better term, or just kind of learning what's really, or trying to understand what's really going on in the world and trying to see, you know, where a lot of these issues lie, it seemed to be like a lot of my focus was again, you know, was Republicans. Like, mm-hmm. they seem to be a cause of a lot of the world issues. Obviously, you know, as you grow, you realize, like, they're all getting money from the same people. They're all for, you know, expanding the military-industrial complex. They're all for, you know, giving big pharma money. They're all for, you know, the same things. But, you know, after 9/11, obviously the Republicans and the neocons, they were a big part of pushing these unjust wars and all this stuff. So a lot of my focus was that. And a lot of people used to say the same thing. They're like, oh, what do you think? Democrats are perfect? Do you think Democrats are, you know, there's no bad Democrat? I'm like, no, no. I just, right now, my focus is on them because my focus needs to be on them. They seem to be the worst at the moment, and they seem to be the ones causing, you know, more of the issues in the world than the other ones. Not to say that I can't find issues on the other side, and you can even make, like you said, you can even make the argument that it doesn't really fucking matter if you have a D or R next to your name. Like, what does it matter? It just, you know, you basically should just, you know, look at them and be like, hey, they're all getting money from lobbyists. You know, I've talked to Jack Abramoff. You know, I've had him on for that purpose because I wanted to highlight how ridiculous it is, the fact that people think like, oh, it's because of this, or it's like, no, they all get given language and they say, here, put this in the bill. They don't even care what it stands for, or what it is, or whatever. They don't care about any of that stuff. So
if they ever even bothered to read the damn things that are presented or allegedly, you know, consumed by their staffers who give them a summary. I love, by the way, you want to talk about somebody who did something good on the left. And again, not saying that I endorse the man, but when Michael Moore came out with that congressman who sat there and said, sit down, my son, we don't read any of the legislature, I thought that was beautiful, because that absolutely made a superb point that was undoubtedly something that most people didn't consider. So what you're saying is it's based on the emergent behaviors and what else could we call it, the posture of the overall Democratic Party, in your mind, is just more toxic, more dangerous, more painful, more punishing to freedom and people in general at this moment.
Yeah, they just seem more problematic at the moment. And not to say that the you know, and again, it's like, I'm not a Republican. I mean, I'm not a religious person. You know, right. I guess I could say I'm a spiritual person, but I'm not like a classic religious conservative or anything like that.
I got you.
I've never once even, you know, considered myself a Republican or conservative or anything from the right. I actually, to be honest, like growing up, I used to debate a lot of Republicans and get in like, you know, just debates with them because of the wars, right? Like a lot of times, by having to defend that team, it's your team. So I remember during the Iraq wars, during our invasion of involvement in Afghanistan, and just about every military, strategy that they had, you know, that was, or at least sold to the public, I would always say, like, that's not really why they're doing it. And a Republican or a conservative would be like, no, no, we're doing this because they're a danger to our freedoms, or, you know, we're fighting terrorism or any of this stuff. And I'm like, dude, what are you talking? No, that's not why we're there. We're doing it to help Halliburton and KBR and
so,
all these.
Yeah. So in the day, okay, rewind 20 years, it's 2002. What you're telling me is you would have been more concerned about the Patriot Act, the warmonger, and profiteering. It would have been like, wait a minute, the right wing, the Republicans are actually the ones who are more toxic, more in my face. They're prosecuting wars under false pretenses and also creating justifications to rob people of their constitutional freedoms, which they're actually endowed by the matter of their creation. Okay, regardless of who you think created them, etc. The fact that you were created and you have life means you are endowed with certain rights. They're not granted to you by the government. These people are actually trying to encroach upon the intended memorialization of it at this time. And for what? For profiteering, for war, to make money, yes, and to increase the tightness of their grip, their stranglehold on people in general. So at that time, if Bobby Kennedy came out and put an R in front of his name and was deciding to run for president, you would have said, hey, I'm concerned here because he's going with the toxic side of the equation.
Yeah, I mean, well
hypothetically, obviously, but yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, again, like, neither, I don't, I'm not one of those people that I've never even cared about, I still don't care about politics, because at the end of the day, like, I, you know, I'll go to the gym and I'll have people at the gym, hey, you know, this, Nancy Pelosi did this, or what, and I'm like, I don't care about this theater. Like, to me, I like looking at things from the big picture, and I like kind of zooming out, because you can really, you can get really caught up in, like, everyday events and all this, like, you know, drama, this political drama of, like, oh, this person doesn't get along with that person, or this person did this and this person did. You know, it's like, right. I don't care. Like, to me, it's like, it doesn't really have a major effect on things. And typically what you're seeing on TV is just the theater. And you don't, it's a puppet show, and the people controlling the puppets are the people that I'm really interested in. And I'm really interested in their, you know, their global plan and how they're, you know, the baby steps in certain directions, you know. And, and the thing is, like, a lot of this stuff, like, you know, PNAC before 9/11, you know, and all these things that happened that, you know, you could kind of see, like, okay, there's a playbook, and we're going into a specific direction. And to me, it's like, trying to figure that out and seeing the baby steps and trying to connect the puzzle pieces, to me, that's much more important. To basically, and at the end of the day, like, every major issue that happens in the world, you can find Democrats and Republicans that are all on board, you know, like, they were all on board going to war. They're all on board, you know, a lot of this stuff. So, you know, in regards to the vaccine issue and the mandates, I do think that a lot of people, like, I, what I stand for hasn't changed. Now, the people who happen to be fighting for a lot of the similar things, that has changed. Mm-hmm. When I first got into podcasting, and I was talking about organic food, and I was talking about pesticides and GMOs and all this stuff, guess who was also pushing for, you know, to get pests, you know, to fight against Monsanto and, you know, GMOs and all that stuff? It was people on the left. And now, like, I'm still fighting for the same things. I'm fighting against chemical companies and big pharma and getting people to try to live a more natural lifestyle and do things that you should be doing, like exercising and breathing clean air and eating things you can pick and grow and kill and farming and all this stuff. Like, now it just happens that the same people that are for those things just happen to be more on the right. You know, when I was going to, anti-COVID vaccine rallies, you know, which is a subject and topic that I've never really changed. I've always been very pro, like, increase your immune system naturally if you can. Right. You know, I'm not a fan of vaccines. I go to these rallies, and what would I see? Tons of Trump signs. It's not that I'm a Trumper. I'm not a Trump fan. But it just happened that the people who were Trump fans were fighting for the same thing I'm fighting. So it's like, it's, you know, like that saying, if enemy of my enemy is my friend, or however it goes. But, like, basically, we're both fighting for the same
thing.
It's
just the way the political and psychological and historical wind has decided to blow. You end up, you know, let's imagine this is a giant yard full of leaves. You're kind of ending up in a pile of leaves that happen to be red colored at the moment. And happen to be, have a bunch of Trump stamps on them, right? Okay, that is what's going on temporarily, but not because you're adopting everything that they're saying. It just so happens that at this moment, it is aligning with some of the things that they are making noise about. Now, as to whether that's a legitimate thing coming from everybody on the right, just like I don't think it was always legitimate when people on the left fought for certain things, I think you have a good deal of that on all sides. So, you know, again, I think reevaluation is necessary at all points, but I want to stick to the RFK issue and not devolve into just the, okay, have you gone into Trumplandia or not? Because that to me is just, you know, it's just such a waste of time. Anyway, to go back into this, if you don't mind, I mean, look, if you want to change directions, let me know, Ricky. We could do it right now live, and we could talk about anything. But I'm enjoying this deeper dive. Do you mind?
No, not at all. I mean, I'm down to talk about anything and everything. So, you know, if we can talk about 1,000 different subjects, or we can focus on one, I'm cool with either or.
Excellent. Let's keep firing at the RFK situation, because I find this to be a very curious and informative examination when it comes to people that I know are thoughtful, that I know are informing themselves and simultaneously informing others. I think it's very important to examine exactly where it's coming from, okay? So back to the RFK thing, because I find myself in a curious position. I want you, if you feel like it, to go ahead and get your sample that you wanted from me, at least my little, you know, three grains of sand that you're going to need for the whole beach coming from me, because I'm a weirdo. But get them any which way you want when I'm done here, please. Here's the thing. Another part of this RFK thing, because I'm a little conflicted for different reasons. Again, I don't want to lionize. And believe me, I am. I don't understand how you call these Democrats liberals. To me, none of what they do is actually liberal. I have more, I might actually be a classic liberal somewhere. I mean, a liberal as in libertarian type of liberal. But look, enough about me. I want to get back to you. Here's the thing. If he goes independent, I get it. That's a choice and everything else. But we've already outlined how that could be counterproductive overall. A guy like this on balance, even if you do see, and by the way, I still, even though you're currently finding the Dems to be more damaging than the Repubs, you know, one gang or the other, Jesse Ventura did a great thing. What was it, the Rebloodlikins and the Democrips, right? Something like that?
Yeah,
just see, Crips are blue. Yeah, that all makes sense. The blue bandana goes with, okay, got it. Anyhow. Great thing there, but and it is like a street gang for pussies, you know, because they would never actually do the dirty work themselves. I mean, at least if you're going to go be a blood, you got to go get a buck and a quarter, which means you got to slash somebody's face with a razor to get 125 stitches in. That's called getting a buck and a quarter in the northeastern, you know, gang rights of being a blood. Anyway, why do I know these things? Another podcast. I was never a blood. I was never a member of any street gang. Anyway, back to it, though. So with Bobby Kennedy and him coming out, now I'm already seeing he's got a guy that was part of BlackRock that is coming in to assist with his financial situation. I don't know if you know about that. Some people look at it as, oh, great, a successful businessman is going to come in and run some of the financial aspects of his campaign. I, of course, have mixed feelings about that. You and I both know a little bit about BlackRock and what goes on there. You can't argue with their success, but is it nefarious? What's up with that? And also, is this a guy who's going to come in and sort of kneecap things from the inside? Because in my estimation, when certain people got involved with Ron Paul's campaign, all of the legitimate sentiment, all of the legitimate support, all of the people that were coming together with the idea that they actually had a different option on the table, you know, all that good stuff, sort of got kneecapped. Same thing, again, I like giving you both sides as best I can when there's allegedly two sides. You know, Bernie Sanders, when people really, the corporate Democrat people got involved in there, all of a sudden, a guy who looked like he was about ready to overtake the establishment candidate that couldn't legitimately generate, you know, enough enthusiasm to get a fart bubble out of a bathtub, okay, when it came to Hillary Clinton. Yeah, when you're dealing with that, right? And that's the opposition. They needed to silence, cut down, slow down, and completely kneecap Bernie Sanders' whole movement. You end up with a movement, and this time it's a BM instead of the actual thing. They kneecapped him. They've done this to many different candidates a lot quicker, a lot sooner, a lot easier, and it happens. This is literally one of the great, well, moves when it comes to controlled opposition. You control the opposition, you create the illusion of a possibility of, sorry, I have to laugh before I even say it, hope and change, right? You know, abandon all hope, beg for change, and oh, by the way, if you didn't like hope and change for brown people, we give it to you for orange, excuse me, I mean white people when it comes to Trump. Because, again, I believe another deception, here is your alleged opposition. Embrace it, because it has no legitimate chance of actually changing anything. Anyhow, ignore all that. Here's the thing. What about the idea that he might just indeed be dangerous enough to be derailed? Because I'm sure if somebody somehow, you know, did a terrible thing like becoming a lone wolf assassin with three names and got to a guy again, ironically, much like his father, I mean, that would tell me that he certainly represented a very serious threat to the establishment. Anyhow, I could definitely see somebody making moves to kneecap him right away, et cetera, et cetera. And all of his focus, by the by, has not been just on vaccines. I know that that's part of what you and I would see because it definitely stuck out like a sore thumb. And he definitely made some noise. I mean, the Anthony Fauci book alone was definitely an eye-opener. And all that, plus many other statements he made. I mean, even coming down to the whole situation with the convicted assassin of his father, right? And siding with the idea that maybe he should be paroled. You're aware of that too, right, Ricky?
Yeah. He's that's one of the reasons why I have a little bit of faith in him, is because I do know, because of, you know, where he stands on his uncle and his dad's assassination, obviously he's quite aware of the deep state and the inner workings of government and who pulls the strings, because I think his family members, his dad included, pushed back a little bit and or a lot of it and got themselves in some trouble because of it. And so it makes me... It's a little confused, and again, this is adds to a little bit of the confusion of why he would have any faith in either political party, unless, like you said before, it was because they understand, like, you have to at least consider yourself a part of one of the gangs to at least be able to play the game. And so I think, you know, more importantly than what he calls himself, you know, independent Democrat, whatever it may be, more important than that is like what he stands for and what he says and what, you know, what he says he's going to try to implement and change. To me, that's the part that I think people should listen to. Now, you know, maybe they shouldn't put a whole lot of focus on, you know, what he's running as and focus more on, you know, what he says, because at the end of the day, like you said, Ron Paul's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. He's somebody who, and Bernie Sanders. I mean, the problem with the U.S. is that there's only two political parties, or at least only two political parties that matter, and only two political parties that people let be the focus of, you know, the running for president. So regardless if your ideologies or your worldviews or your perspectives don't fit in those boxes, you have to find a way to fit in those boxes, because if not, you're just not a part of the conversation. So I think that's what happened. I know the links between, you know, the BlackRock and the, you know, some of the people that there's all these rumors that are circulating. I don't know how true they are, and I don't know how, you know, shicey the people are that he's putting around him.
Well, that's not a rumor. That's been announced by the guy himself, and also acknowledged by RFK Jr. that he has brought this guy in to do some of the workings when it comes to his the financial end of his campaign. That's not rumor or anything. And that guy definitely was with BlackRock, as far as I know. I mean, unless you got some other information that somehow this has been elaborately presented in a weird way. Even somebody writing with Dr. McCullough's group was writing about it day before yesterday, I think.
Well, you know, and that might be the case. But the thing is, we have to be like reserve a little bit of judgment, because you look at like somebody like Edward Dowd, who's been doing a bunch of interviews. He's the one who wrote, I think he wrote the book Sudden Death, or he's been on a bunch of shows. He worked for BlackRock.
Interesting cat, right? That's one of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's now doing amazing work, getting the information out there and getting people aware of the fact that we, you know, deaths all over the world have just increased drastically. And this guy, I would say, is one of the good guys. And yet, you know, he worked for BlackRock. So I think sometimes, you know, we do have to reserve judgment. You might get somebody who worked for a very shitty corporation and or a company or was a part of a group, but maybe, you know, they worked there for a little bit of time, or maybe they worked there, but they weren't a part of any of the other stuff that we're discussing. You know, maybe he was just investing in a part of, you know, a office space that was really not focused on trying to control everything. He was just focused on his specific job of like investing or whatever he was doing. So, you know, it is one of those things where like, I have to do a little bit more of a deep dive. I want to believe that maybe this guy is just good for the job. And when he worked at BlackRock, he was just good at what he was doing, you know. And, you know, I remember I can't remember who it was. There's quite a few really good guests that I've had on that were investment bankers at big firms or did something else that you're like, oh, you work for them. You know, they're evil. They're bad. But, you know, they happen to be good people who are now doing amazing work. So, you know, yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want to jump to conclusions, and maybe he is the best person for the job, and maybe he's not, you know, the person he hired isn't somebody who, but you're right. You also have to be skeptical of the fact that like, maybe they're trying to sabotage him. Maybe they're, you know, that's also a concern. So there is a, you know, the thing about this, this Kennedy running thing is that there's a lot of speculation, a lot of, like, what ifs, right. And we don't really have much more information to run on. Like, we kind of have to, like, listen to interviews, get his perspective, see what he believes in. I know there's been a lot of people concerned about his perspective on energy companies and alternative energy and all this type of stuff. What's your concerns about him, or do you not have concerns, and what's just your opinion on him running? Are you concerned about you know, his perspectives on anything, if it's energy, if it's military, if it's whatever it may be? Are there any concerns, and also are there any things you like about him that maybe give you a little bit of hope?
Well, I'll be straightforward with you, and I know it didn't sound like it during this discussion, but here's the thing. I have not been happy with or engaged in. I have not voted for quite a while because I found it pointless, useless, and there was absolutely nobody that I would want to endorse at the top of just about any ticket. I have withdrawn for the most part from voting. And I comment on it. I also feel as though it's best for me to remain objective, so I'm not rooting for a team or anything, you know what I mean, or an individual. And I'm just trying to look back at everything objectively when it comes to all the political parties and all the offices being offered. My faith in the system is effectively at an anti-faith status, and that's the way it is. And yet, I'll tell you, that RFK Jr. having a legitimate run might put me back in to where I think that if this guy gets anywhere with it, it shows that there might be just enough wiggle room in the corrupt, clamped down, bought and paid for, almost hollow system of bullshit that they have hoisted upon us all for about the entire time I've been living and breathing on this planet. There might actually be hope that there is some way that we could be represented, and I don't have to agree with everything. I don't have to like everything. On balance, I can say this, that my objective view of the guy, and I've been observing him for many years for many reasons, to see what he might do regarding the assassinations, etc. I say this, is that, first of all, he could get into a position of power and change a bit. He does seem to be open to the idea of, well, gee, I have new information, so I might alter my opinion based on being better informed in general across the board. That's the kind of guy he seems to be. And I might re-engage with this thing called voting and the selections, which are generally preordained, toxic, and have virtually nothing to do with me when it comes to selecting these people and whether I support them or not, or whether I support their ideas or not. things are going to get done. And I think that is the status for most of us who don't have the pay-to-play resources, bank accounts, to really engage. If you can't buy a piece of the system, you ain't playing. You got to buy chips to play in the casino. And if you can't afford the chips, you're just an observer. That's the way I feel I have been and continue to be and will continue to be. But a ray of hope is here. Not saying, oh, here comes the savior. No. But a ray of hope is there that perhaps if this guy gets anywhere near a position of power, then that means that there is a vague, small, minute possibility that legitimate individuals who might be able to represent the will of the people one way or another and to do some honest, decent things from a position of power in our corrupt system, they might actually be a possibility, a potential reality, as opposed to the fairy tale that I have pretty much consistently believed this whole thing is. Sounds a little odd, doesn't it?
Well, no, but were you a fan of Ron Paul when he ran? And if not,
yes.
Then what? Well, you were, okay. So it's a very, because I feel like they're very similar. The fan base is going to be very similar in regards to why we like them as a possible, you know, like you said, a opportunity to have some hope in somebody running that might actually be decent.
Yeah, and go beyond that. Let me tell you a couple other presidential candidates that were possibilities, and a couple of them got close or got onto the ballot under an independent label. Even though Cynthia McKinney is personally pissed off at me a little bit, I love her. I would have gladly seen her as president or vice president, Cynthia McKinney. Ron Paul, I thought, would have been a great candidate if he was allowed to exercise any sort of power from that office. And guess what? I also think that Bernie Sanders would have been a very, very nice shakeup to the system, okay? We got problems across the board. I mean, I would definitely prefer Cynthia McKinney's view on Israel as opposed to Ron Paul's view or even Bernie Sanders' view, right? I might approve of some of the things that Ron Paul had to say regarding the economic situation. I definitely would have loved to have seen the entire system that we have with the Federal Reserve altered, put back into the control of the people that are actually participating in the system. Would have loved to have seen a lot of things like that. But you see, I'm not all, you know, I say some of that stuff and immediately, I know you're not going to hang up on me, Ricky, I don't think. But some people would hang up on me with the Bernie Sanders mention. Some people would hang up on me with the, hey, look, Israel, not a fan. Not because I got problems with Jewish people, of course, but because I have problems with open-air concentration camps. And also there is a dubious situation there regarding what happened to the Palestinians. And I know, and these are my opinions, not those of Ricky Verandez or anybody else connected to this discussion. Let's make that clear. I'm not speaking for anybody but myself. But there is a wide array of things. And do I think Bobby Kennedy would be great on all foreign policy fronts? No. But in general, I think he would be less likely to want to engage us in wars for the sake of the military-industrial complex alone. I think that medical freedom might be something that is important to him. I think that people's freedoms in general might be important to him. I even got a bad taste in my mouth, though, a few years ago, when the price tag for getting him to show up or anything was $25,000. And I have several times attempted to get him on my show. I would love to have 15 minutes with him to ask him a few questions. But have I answered your question, Ricky?
Yeah, I mean,
or did I put you to sleep for a second?
No. I'm curious, but I'm curious. So you told me he would give you a little ray of sunshine from the hope sun, but
a little
the
bit
thing
of hope,
is,
yeah.
But is there any? You've said you've heard him talk quite a bit. what issues would you have with him? Like, at running, I mean, are there any concerns about him just, I mean, are there any concerns about this idea of, because I think we're both kind of on the same page in regards to knowing that it's basically a rigged system. Mm-hmm. If he's part of the system, either, you know, is there any concern about him maybe potentially becoming a part of the problem, right? Like, potentially, you know, not having any, even if his heart's in the right place. Like you said, I believe Ron Paul, Bernie Sanders, even Trump supporters, I think a lot of these people, Ralph Nader, Ross Perot, are all people that I think their supporters have a lot of similarities. They're basically like, hey, I'm sick of the same old cookie cutter politician. We need something drastically different. Right. Even if different isn't better, we need different.
It's
we
something. Need something. Yeah. Right.
And Sanders, the same thing. You know, the socialism thing, and you probably know that, like, you know, a lot of people in this community, especially in the community that I hang out in, there are a lot of people on the right, a lot of, like, really extreme libertarians who mm-hmm. believe in no government or very little to no government. I'm not against the idea of entertaining some socialist ideas. I think that whatever perfect system, if it were to exist, it probably would be a mixture of a lot of different ideologies, and socialism being one of them. In theory, I like the idea of us all contributing to help each other, and I think in theory it's not a bad thing, and I think a lot of people don't realize that they are okay with some socialist ideas, like police officers, paved roads. There's a lot of these are socialistic ideas, that this idea that we all contribute for a service, we all contribute for the greater good. So I think, you know, so I remember having a debate with a police officer friend of mine, you know, who basically said all socialism is awful. You know, it's being over the top. And I'm like, you do realize, like, your job wouldn't exist in a world that didn't have some type of socialism, because right. you are paid by the taxpayer. You are a part. We all contribute for your services. So, you know, that's a socialist idea. You know, another world that where if you wanted to remove all socialist ideas from the face of the earth, you wouldn't exist, or you'd be a private contractor. And I don't, you know, and in this, you know, alter reality that libertarians or anarcho-libertarians live in, where right. they think private contractors could do the job or would do the job. And again, there's flaws in those theories too. I think at the end of the day, the causes of our issues are always going to exist, because the causes of our issues isn't a ism. It's corruption. And anytime there's power, as you know, power, you know, corrupts absolutely. Like it's, you know, the left blames you know, corporations for the root of all evil, and then the right blames government for the root of all evil. And the one thing they all have in common is that it's corrupt people who ruin things. And, you know, and that's not going to change. It doesn't matter if you have more or less government or more or less corporations doing things without government. Like, at the end of the day, wherever there's money and power, there's going to be people who are going to take advantage of the system, regardless what type of system you have. Unions in the beginning were there for a purpose, right? You had the Industrial Revolution. You had all these rich families, Rockefellers, the Carnegies, like all these people making tons of money and not giving people time off, mm-hmm. not giving people breaks, not sharing some of the wealth, right? They're making all the money was being funneled up to the top, these people weren't getting any raises, they weren't getting time off, they weren't getting any benefits. So unions came around and said, hey, we'll represent you, here's somebody who will have your back, or a group that will have your back and help try to get you a fair wage. And then eventually that organization, the unions, became just as corrupt as the people they were trying to fight against. So right. that happened all the time. So, like, the common thread is always, wherever there are people, there will be corrupt people. So it doesn't matter what they're defending or what their purpose is or what their origin story is. Eventually, you know, wherever there's money and power, there will be issues. So
exactly.
You know,
well, and look, Ricky, I've taken you way over the time that I wanted to discuss all this with you, and I really appreciate your indulgence, your patience, and your time. But I wanted to kind of tie a bow on this right now, and I'll tell you why, because I take this as an interesting sign. While we're speaking, I'm looking over at an email, and I just got an email making many of the very same points that you just made, okay? But they sent it ahead of you making those points. Answering part of what I was saying, kind of pinging me a little more for believing in the socialist there, you know, giving me a bit of crap about that. But you know where it came from? Is a guy who started out his email, very long one, started out his email reminding me that I should always re-examine people and not judge them simply based on some of the more historically significant things they participated in. The ironic thing, I'm not going to reveal the name of the individual who emailed this to me, but the ironic thing is that he's probably an extremely well-known organized crime figure that does privately email me. And second or third generation, I know if you've ever watched a documentary on La Cosa Nostra that covered the 70s, 80s, or 90s, this guy had to come up in that documentary. Okay. And it just so happens he's a listener and is listening to us right now. So, you know, buongiorno, amici, but, you know, here we are, and you're right. People do change, and things do change, and I do feel good about the idea that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. would be a whole lot more of a legitimate candidate. I think that's the thing that I'm looking for, a legitimate representative in government. It just seems that that's the way he would come off. And yes, I'm aware, just like you are, Ricky, that no matter what, he could get in there and discover that he's a whole lot more handcuffed than he really is. I think this happened to, let's go for both sides of the equation, as I so often love to do. I think this happened to both John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon, for instance. I think that both of them had this crazy idea that they were in charge and got shown that they were not. Now, it was a little too soon to put a bullet into Richard Nixon's head to eliminate the issue at the top there that might not cash him in and get them all of what it is they wanted, the they, the them, the those with the agendas. So instead, what do? You sabotage him by sending in CIA guys who actually train people about how to do breaking and entering jobs, black bag work, and make sure that they screw it up well enough that a hapless security guard can pick up the fact that there's a burglary happening. You know, you start out things that way. And then you get a guy who has to resign after a bit because it's a lot less messy, believe it or not, than, you know, somehow having a situation where a guy in an open-top limousine gets himself publicly executed in front of about 400 witnesses. I mean, it's a lot easier to do it that way. It's a little cleaner. It looks a little more like a natural event, doesn't it? But anyway, I'm just saying, what I mean to say here is, again, not wishing any ill on Bobby Kennedy Jr. and not saying that I lionize him as a great, you know, oh, the Savior has arrived. The Mashiach is here. No. But what I am saying is it does legitimately give me that Ron Paul nostalgia. Ron, I had some faith in. I thought he could do some good, at the very least changing things for the right direction, etc. But not necessarily as enthusiastic as I might actually be about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And not because he's a Kennedy, but because he's shown balls to go out there and do things in spite of what the official position is supposed to be, in spite of what his party says, in spite of what his own family says. This is a guy who's willing to go out there and speak truth to power and power to truth. So, sorry, I happen to be on the side of this might be a good thing, this guy running and winning. Now, Kenny, will he? Is there a possibility? Will he be sabotaged? Ricky, I say this, unless you got a great crystal ball, I think we're all just going to have to stay tuned. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like we talked about before, I'm hearing a lot of people in the alternative media community bringing up all these, you know, what ifs and speculations and whatever. But I kind of feel like, you know what, we kind of just have to wait and see how it pans out. Like, why sit here and demonize somebody that hasn't even done anything wrong yet and really has been on our side in many of these issues for a long time. But now, just because he's thrown his name in the race, all of a sudden we want to demonize him because now you're acting like he's joined the other team. And I think he has, just like his family members, his father and his
uncle,
can change things from inside. But in a way, I'm also a little surprised that he does think he can change things from the inside because of his dad and, you know, the way, you know, the story of his father and his uncle ended. And to me, so it's like, that's the other part too. It's like, I can see why he would have faith because of, those family, that family history. But I also would understand why he wouldn't have faith, because they attempted to do the same thing and then look what they did. So that's the part that makes things a little confusing, because I'm like, okay, well, you saw what happened to your family members. So it's like, how far do you think you could take it before you're at risk or in danger, or, you know, or maybe they wouldn't even let you win? Because if you see that the president really lacks actual power and that there's all this other behind the scenes things going on, and yet you're still willing to run and think that you can change. So it's like, I'm a little confused by that. That's why,
tremendous nuance. Because again, one must open their minds to the rest of it too, Ricky. And I don't mean to scold you at all, but please insert this into your equation. His uncle, another one of his uncles, not the one that ended up dead in Dealey Plaza, but, you know, another one of his uncles was, what, the longest-standing senator in U.S. history, I think, right? Ted Kennedy. Now, look, you can talk about what he had an effect on or what kind of an effective politician he was, or was he just a, you know, a drunken mess all the time? Whatever. There's lots of different ways to go here. But one thing you can't say is that the guy didn't have an effect in general on the country, okay? So you got that nuance to enter in, and you've also got another even harsher warning sign, which would be in his own generation, John F. Kennedy Jr. Seems like, and I'm not saying this is absolutely certain, but it seems like the moment that his cousin, his first cousin, decided to show any sort of interest in doing what he is precisely doing right now, a plane crashed, and that was the end of that, under odd circumstances. Of course, his uncle, who had that long-standing effect, I don't know if you know this, but in 1964, I think it was 64 or right around there, you know, he was also involved in a plane crash where his back was broken. That's Ted Kennedy, right? Plus, you know about Chappaquiddick, and hey, maybe there's some suspicious stuff that went on there. Is that entirely his doing? Was he just, you know, drunken, reckless, playboy, rich boy? Maybe. But was there other things going on? Maybe. There's a lot to dig into and a lot of things that he would be privy to that you and I have a clue about, but don't necessarily know all of the nuances. So the thing is, it is interesting to consider how informed he is and exactly what that means to him and what it is his motivation is, how much risk is he taking in his own mind. Is this something to be lauded, or are we getting fooled again? You know, very much like the hope and change BS that Madison Avenue sold people on Barack Obama, right? Again, as I said, became abandon all hope and beg for change, because that's going to work out a lot better than trying to work a job that you get paid, you know, next to nothing for. Good luck. But at the same time, they gave you another hope and change. Don't worry, we're going to change it all. We're going to make America great again. Now, we can debate about when America was great, but here's the orange guy. So, you know, and to my mind, that was just, here's Bush. Here's Bush's, you know, discount cousin. Then, oh, here's another Bush. Bush Light. Then we go for Bush Dark, which is effectively Barack Obama. Take the joke any way you want. Next, how about a, what would they call that now? A microbrew. It's got an orange tint to it. Maybe an orange tint. You know, they put orange flavoring in beer now. I can't do it. But they do this. It is very much like the beer, and it's not Bud Light, and I don't care who they put on the can. It still tastes like piss. Anyway, is there a possibility of a change? Is there something legitimate outside of the Grand Puppet Show? I say stay tuned, Ricky, and I say people should stay tuned to you. So once again, if you go to RickyBarantes.com, you like that outro, Ricky? Is that a good, smooth segue?
I like your creativity, yes.
I try, man. Listen, I can't do the smooth professional that you do, so I've got to do the extemporaneous, mildly poetic stream of consciousness, because I don't know how to do it any other way. So RickyBarantes.com. The ripple effect, obviously, and hopefully you don't regret coming on, and perhaps you and I will have another public discussion again soon, either on my show or yours. And of course, Union of the Unwanted is available out there. I'm not often wanted over there, but I have popped up, so I would advise people to tune into that, tune into the ripple effect, and all of the other things. Is there anything else that you'd like to remind people they can go ahead and access in order to take a much wider, deeper view of your views and the views of the many, many interesting and extremely fascinating guests? Everybody, by the way, I love the fact that I'm still envious. Jim Florentine is a get that I would love to have. But, of course, you've had a lot of guests on because you're that kind of guy. You're worthy of it. And you do a very smooth and professional job, much better at the video. Well, look, I mean, that's not a high bar. I'm the blind guy trying to do video, so what are you going to do? But you got a better voice, you got a better demeanor, you got a better all that. And just so happens both of our shows have the word effect in it, but I really appreciate and do respect your work and appreciate the effort and the time, which you gave me about a half hour more time today than I actually asked you for, and I'm sorry. I've probably taken you away from something much more important, but I appreciate it. Anything else that they should go ahead and look at to get into the mind of Ricky Barantes?
First of all, me having a better voice is very debatable. One thing that isn't debatable is that the two guys that are always talking don't have a better voice than your producer, who doesn't have a show. So it's actually quite hilarious that the guy with the best voice isn't even doing a show. I love having these discussions. As you could probably imagine, my wife is used to my conversations going a little long and going longer than initially anticipated.
Hold on. Not debatable at all. You're correct about the better voice. And for those of you that don't remember, just a quick cutoff of my microphone to fully play the station ID, which is ubiquitous at Ocelli.com radio and is on all of our 24/7 streams all the time. It is this voice.
Ocelli.com.
There you go. Nature Boy. The weapon that we have that has the ultimate voice. We need to get him doing movie trailers booming out of a THX. I might have to put some warnings out there, though, for people. Like, beware, a booming voice might injure you during the course of the movie trailers. But sorry, Ricky. Again, extemporaneous weirdness. Please continue.
No, I was just saying I love having these discussions, and I'm glad we had them. And if it goes long, that's fine. It's when you're in a deep conversation, it always sucks when you have to cut it short. So I was glad that we were. And this is a very relevant, discussion. I mean, these are things that people are thinking. A lot of people in our community and just the general public are thinking about, what to think about the Kennedy running as for president. And, we're kind of on the same page where I think a lot of people are up in the air and don't know quite yet how they feel about it. And I'm glad that I could get another perspective on the topic, because this is something that's been on my mind. So I'm glad I got to hear your perspective on it. But without a doubt, I mean, these discussions are awesome. I hope people tune into your show, my show, any show in the community that is willing to entertain different opinions and perspectives, and don't create just an echo chamber of QAnon Trumpers or woke lefties. That's never good. You want different opinions, different perspectives, and really.
Right. Trump or not, woke or not, it's got to go well beyond all of that. So, we'll just...
This show will be available.
This meeting is being recorded.
Oops.
On all the audio platforms within a day or two, and then also on our Odyssey channel. So definitely check out The Unions Unwanted. Chuck's been on there. Nature Boy's been on there. Chuck, come on next week if you're available, next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And tune in. And also, you can find all those links and much more on the RippleEffectPodcast.com. I'm also on a bunch of different social media platforms. If you want to see pictures of my family or what I'm doing on a weekend, follow me on Instagram or Facebook and check me out. And thanks again for having me on. I really enjoyed this discussion.
Absolutely. And I will suggest strongly that...
Chuck, did we lose you?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Nature Boy, you're going to have to jump in here.
I'm here.
He probably had technical difficulties, but as always...
Anyways.
For one, thanks for coming on, Ricky. I really enjoy your conversations and your show.
Appreciate it. Check it out.
You've got hat on
this
there
is so funny. They can't hear me.
World, so... You do good on that stuff. And that looks like we might have to... Oh, there he is.
This is hilarious. I have no idea why you guys were not hearing me, but point is, go over and check out RickyMirandez.com. Check out The Ripple Effect, definitely, over on Rockfin. And check out all things Ricky Mirandez, again, at RickyMirandez.com. The links will be in the show description. Appreciate all you guys, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are. Remember this. I am Mirlio Celli, and all of you are indeed the effect. Good night.